Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're diving into a fascinating study that explores the effects of early time-restricted eating combined with daily caloric restriction on continuous glucose levels. Now, why is this important? Well, if you have chronically elevated blood sugar levels, it's not good. When you can control your blood sugar, it can prevent diabetes, it can help with your cardiovascular health because high blood sugar can damage blood vessels, increase your risk of heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular problems. Maintaining a stable blood glucose level is critical for your heart and vascular system. It prevents nerve damage, vision problems. Chronically elevated blood sugar can negatively impact brain function, can crush your energy levels, and make you really moody. Now, you can keep all this in check through a balanced diet, regular physical activity, good sleep, and maintaining a healthy body composition. By doing that, you can promote overall health and well-being. Now, if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that I love finding evidence-based strategies for optimizing health and human performance. And on a recent episode I did on intermittent fasting, or what some people call time-restricted feeding, episode 426, I had two times the amount of normal downloads. So I figured this is a signal that this is something that you're interested in. So I found another great article, so let's dig into it. As a reminder, time-restricted eating, or TRE, is basically just limiting your eating window to a specific time frame each day. And the idea is that by doing this, you may be able to improve various health markers, including glucose control and insulin sensitivity. But what happens when you combine TRE with traditional caloric restriction, meaning you're eating less calories than your body needs for weight loss? That's what Zaman and colleagues set out to investigate in their recent study published in the Journal of Obesity Science and Practice. The title of the paper is The Effects of Early Time-Restricted Eating Plus Daily Caloric Restriction Compared to Daily Caloric Restriction Alone on Continuous Glucose Levels. And I put a link to the paper in the show notes. So what do they find? The researchers recruited 81 obese adults and randomly assigned them to one of two groups. The first group followed in an early time-restricted eating plus daily caloric restriction protocol. This meant they could only eat during a 10-hour window starting within 3 hours of waking up, and they also had to stick to a personalized calorie goal based on their measured resting energy expenditure. So basically, they could wake up and eat, but they cut off eating earlier in the evening. The second group just followed the daily caloric restriction without any specific timing guidelines. They could eat whenever they wanted. All participants wore continuous glucose monitors. So those devices that usually go on the backside of the tricep, continuously measuring glucose, as the name references, for 7 days. And then they had their insulin sensitivity measured using a HOMA-IR method at the beginning and the end of the 12-week intervention. HOMA-IR stands for Homeostasis Model Assessment of Insulin Resistance. It's basically a method to approximate insulin resistance. Now, here's where things get interesting. When the researchers analyzed the data, they found there was no significant differences between the two groups in terms of changes in average glucose levels, glucose variability, or insulin sensitivity over 12 weeks. Both groups saw improvements in some of these markers, but the addition of early time-restricted eating didn't seem to provide any extra benefit. Now, there was one exception, though. The group following daily caloric restriction alone had a greater reduction in something called the mean amplitude of glycemic excursions, which basically is a measure of how much glucose levels fluctuate after a meal. It kind of makes sense. If you haven't been eating for a long time and then you eat, you're going to have a bigger spike. Well, that didn't happen in the group that was just eating however they want. It wasn't anything to be concerned about. It was a small but measurable difference. But I just find it kind of humorous that, like, everybody's like, oh, if you intermittent fast, you're going to have better blood glucose control. And it just showed that it wasn't quite what we thought it was. It wasn't of clinical significance, meaning like this isn't something to be concerned about. It was a smaller sample size. But let's be crystal clear. You know, the literature to date has shown an overall beneficial trend for time-restricted eating on glycemic parameters. Although these findings have not been completely universal, there's kind of this trend that, yeah, it helps. The improvements in fasting glucose, insulin resistance, and insulin sensitivity that have been observed in these studies have often been attributed to what? Calorie restriction and weight loss. That said, I think this study does provide some valuable food for thought. It suggests that people looking to improve blood sugar control and metabolic health, one of the most important factors we should all be looking at for our overall health and well-being, should first focus on getting into a healthy body composition range. So if you need to lose weight, start with a calorie deficit. And then if eating in a condensed time frame helps you control your appetite, helps you kind of put some guardrails up, or it helps with not having low HRV at night and having an elevated heart rate, like for me, then do it. Otherwise, if you need to lose weight, just eat in a caloric deficit. And I think this is where the social media world and the sensationalized things and people trying to sell products really get in the way of good science. I have nothing against time-restricted eating. As a matter of fact, when I travel, I was just on the road for 11 days. Guess what? That's what I did. I woke up, had coffee, didn't really eat anything until 12, 1 or 2 o'clock sometimes. Why? It kept me from eating junk. And it was just easier for me to do. What did I do? I made sure I hit my protein goals. I actually lost a little bit of weight on the trip. Not a bad thing. A couple pounds as I'm currently in this trimming down phase that I've talked about before. So it's a good tool to have in your toolbox. If you're someone that enjoys having a bigger breakfast and finishing your meals earlier in the day, like I do, this could be something good for you. So here's the bottom line. It's all about finding what works for you and being consistent with it over time. Don't forget about the other things like sleep quality and physical activity, resistance training, making sure you're connected to a community. But there is no magic bullet thus far that we found behind intermittent fasting. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and follow this show and share it with a friend or family member who's interested in optimizing their health. If you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover in future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out. You can connect with me on social media or email me at eric@ericcorum.com. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep pursuing excellence.